your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Kia ora, Josh. How you doing?
Kia ora. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. All right. Spaced Out. Let's do it. I want to start talking about these poor astronauts that are still stuck in space.
Still stuck in space. The never-ending story at this point.
So obviously we've talked about this before, but for anyone who hasn't, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't, but anyone who hasn't been keeping up with Spaced Out, could you give us a background on what the story is so far with these astronauts?
Yeah, so story as of now is back in early June, we had two astronauts launch to the space station on a new Boeing spacecraft called Starliner. It was meant to be an eight-day test mission. We're now about 70-ish days later, and they're still in the space station. They've had problems with the spacecraft, and NASA and Boeing are kind of basically trying to figure out how to get these astronauts home now, and it now sounds like that they may actually have to send up a different spacecraft to get them because, yeah, it may seem that the Starliner spacecraft is not safe to fly.
Right, and that possibly wouldn't be until next year.
Yeah, which, you know, you can imagine going to work for supposedly 8 days. And
you'd feel pretty ripped off.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite sad, and, you know, these are trained astronauts, so I don't think that, you know, they're super distraught over it. But it's definitely tough, you know, being in space away from everyone and just having such a mission extension. I think it would be pretty tough for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, just like anxiety-inducing just reading it, let alone being
exactly.
In space. But I suppose you're trained to deal with that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah.
For Boeing, who's like just, they just seem to always be dealing with some sort of PR like situation and scandal. I mean, what is this going to mean for the future of their kind of expeditions to space, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting because, you know, Boeing has done a lot of really, you know, amazing engineering, not just on Earth, but in space. But when it comes to, you know, something like a crewed mission where you have actual people on a spacecraft, you know, the margins for error are so incredibly slim. So you have to make sure that anything you send into space with people is extremely safe and it's the best that it can be. And in this case, it's just not. So it feels like in the future, you know, NASA is probably not going to be contracting Boeing at any time soon to be sending their astronauts into space. It's likely that they're going to have to rely on SpaceX, which is, you know, a direct competitor to Boeing spacecraft. I don't know what the future will be for Boeing in terms of space travel, but I think in NASA's perspective, it's probably a lot easier and a lot cheaper to send astronauts on a SpaceX spacecraft instead of a Boeing one, and also just safer.
Mm. Oh, well, you'd hate to be working at Boeing, wouldn't you?
Oh, God, yeah, I had to be stuck in space for 6 months.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, goodo. Liquid water found on Mars. Now, when I read this, I was like, oh, yeah, I feel like, you know, every now and then we hear some cool story about water on Mars. But then I read that it's the first time that liquid water has been found on Mars.
Yeah, it's definitely not 100% confirmed, this discovery, but a few researchers have been using data from one of the spacecraft that was on Mars a few years ago, and they've found that basically the way that Mars, the interior of the planet, works, they detect basically what we call Mars quakes, which is exactly what we think it is, an earthquake on Mars. and they tell us about the interior of the planet. Yeah, very cool name. But it basically tells us about the interior of the planet. And from that data, they've basically kind of found that they believe that there are large amounts of liquid water under the crust of Mars, which is, you know, really interesting to actually find that, because liquid water and, you know, its Earth form, it can't really exist on the surface because the surface pressure is just so low on Mars. So, you know, if that is true, and if they do have these large deposits of water on Mars underground, there is that huge possibility for life, because, you know, the key on Earth is where we find water, we find life. And if there is liquid water on Mars, is there life?
Mm. So, like, how large are we talking when we say a reservoir of water?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We don't really know. But the unfortunate thing is it's not just, you know, like a few metres underground, or let's just do some quick digging. We're talking, you know, dozens of kilometres underground, so you would have to be drilling for a pretty long time to get to that water. So it's definitely not accessible. But even if it is, you know, not huge amounts like we see on the Earth, even if it is small pockets of it under the surface, that is still really significant. And I think it, you know, just alludes to that fact that, we think that, life may have existed on Mars, or maybe still does at some point, which is amazing, you know, if that's true.
It's quite good that it's deep, because then it means that billionaires like Elon Musk can't go and drill it, right?
Exactly, yeah. Or Coca-Cola going over and taking all the water from Mars.
Oh dear, what a time to be alive. Anywho, finally, more aurora in the sky. I feel like we've had so much of this recently.
Yeah, it's we had that really big one back in I think it was in May, which was like visible from Auckland. But yeah, we had another pretty significant solar flare a few days ago, which reached Earth yesterday and kind of into today. So there was sightings of the aurora down south. So if, anyone was down south. Mostly in the lower South Island, but apparently it was seen as far north as Hamilton, which, you know, is pretty significant. And there is, prediction for potential for an aurora tonight, and I'm just looking out my window right now, and it looks very, very clear and sunny. So that is a good sign. Hopefully,
we get a little...
It definitely wouldn't be, like, super bright and amazing even if it was visible, especially here in Auckland. But, yeah, it's just one of those, like, you know, natural things that are such amazing and beautiful things to see. So if anyone does get the chance to, get out and see it tonight, it's super cool.
As an amateur space enthusiast that dropped out of science way too early in high school, can you give me a rundown on what actually happens with a solar flare?
It's interaction between charged particles from the sun. So the sun's basically shooting out a bunch of stuff in all directions, and that stuff basically slams into Earth's magnetic field, and that magnetic field channels all of that charged particles to the poles. So that's why we get the aurora at the north and the south. But when we get solar flares, that basically increases the activity and pushes the aurora further north. So in this case, because it is pushing it further north, if we are looking south from our perspective, that's where you're going to usually see the aurora originating from the southern skies.
Right. Epic. sounds like a very epic thing happening in the sky, and looks like
aurora. I mean, that was a very simplified version, but it's just one of those beautiful natural things to kind of see the cosmos doing on. Just a little bit of a display for everyone.
Cool. Okay, everyone look at the sky tonight. Fingers crossed we might see something.
Fingers crossed.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Josh. Always love Spaced Out.
No worries. I'll speak to you in a few weeks.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.